This is Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hanson.
What's going on? Welcome to a Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hanson of Fantasy Points. .com, the program per usual being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. It is a midweek PM hang as we all try to find the strength to get through the week so we can get to the arguably the best weekend of the year, the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Wild card rounds, probably my favorite round because we have the most action and we have the most to come, most action forthcoming. The divisional round is the best weekend of the NFL playoffs. Next week, championship week, that's the best day. I think we all know that, but ready to rock and roll, have a lot of data and prop points to make here on the program. Points about props. We'll catch you up on the injury report for the Saturday games, the Sunday games. Those teams will be practicing for the first time today, so we don't have anything coming down the line. We'll check in on some other news and notes, of course, on a Wednesday. That's the day when we start isolating the wide receiver cornerback matchup, so we do have all that data. And I do have props on the players in question here, and some pretty good opportunities, I do believe. One of them, spoiler alert, will be my best bet for the day. It is a receiving prop, FYI. That will be popped out here at the end of the program. We'll also chop it up with our guy, Brett Whitefield of fantasypoints.com. See what he has cooking. He is Mr. Film, Data, Football. It's all encapsulated there in Brett Whitefield's brain. See what the matchups that he's looking at. He's got a couple of props as well. And then, as we always do, we'll break down the NFL divisional round totals. And I'm going to go a little bit more into that. In fact, I may even start in this first segment because the first game, Bills at Broncos, looking at all the schematics, I was like, damn, this puppy's going under. We got a total of 45.5. Bills plus 1.5, but I couldn't believe how poor the schematics were pretty much for everyone in the damn game. So we'll get into that. We'll probably pop into that here in the first segment, but stay tuned to the entire program at the end. I'll give you all the data points that I'm looking at here. Try and get a lot of it out today because oftentimes on this show, I'm usually rushed. I have too much information. At the end of the day, no question about it. So we'll pop out some of the stats here in this first segment in that first game. Make sure you're downloading the Prop Points podcast wherever you get your pods, Apple, Spotify, and the like. Well, you know, the first big news item that hit yesterday, of course, just when I predicted that Mike Tomlin would get Malik Willis as his quarterback next year, he went ahead and retired. But, you know, the vibes I've had have been just awful. And I think everybody in Pittsburgh understands this. We, you know, there was a time where I loved Mike Tomlin. I thought he was awesome. But over the last 10 years or so, just not feeling it because, you know, the bravado, the moxie, the big words, I love them. That's all there. You know what's not there? Winning in the playoffs, most notably. So it started to kind of annoy me a little bit. So it's the end of an era there in Pittsburgh. I give them credit for making that hire, though, because it was a little unusual at the time. You know, he was only like the DB coach in Minnesota, I guess. I believe that's what he was. And it was a little proactive. It was a little out there, and it certainly worked out overall for the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Eagles have fired Kevin Petullo after one season, but I mean, that whole thing, I was talking to my accountant actually yesterday. I am from the Philadelphia area, and he's a huge Eagles fan. He wanted me to articulate like what happened, and not to get into it here, but it's a very complex situation. At the end of the day, and I'm not a big Sirianni guy, I do believe that the real problem is that Jalen Hurts enjoyed a little too much success early on. I mean, there's a reason he dropped to the second round. Let's be honest here. You know, he's got a lot of great qualities, great spatial awareness, throws a good deep ball. He's a warrior. He's a champion, all that good stuff. But there are serious limitations with Jalen Hurts. And I think that's really the crux of the matter. I think that's one of the reasons why A.J. Brown is sick of it, why everyone thinks Kevin Petullo is awful, which he may be. But maybe Jalen Hurts is partly to blame here. Also to blame, Chargers have let OC Greg Roman go. And hate to say it, I'm not a big Greg Roman guy. Ironically, he grew up, a stone's throw away from me in New Jersey. He actually went to high school in my old hometown in Absecon, New Jersey. Shout out to Holy Spirit High. But there's always been questions about his ability to really be complex. I mean, great running game concepts and all that, fantastic. But in the passing game, the route combinations and the like, not that great. So you add that up with the protection issues that the Chargers had, and it does make some sense. Oh, by the way, speaking of the Steelers, owner Art Rooney suggested that Aaron Rodgers won't return. Obviously, I think that's on everyone's brain, because I think Mike Tomlin was a big reason why Aaron Rodgers went there in the first place. Of course, he was also looking for work, so I'm sure that was part of it. Ravens head coach John Harbaugh meeting with Giants ownership today, and the Titans interviewed Steelers office coordinator Arthur Smith for the team's head coaching job. Please, God, no. Please, no. Please, for the love of all things holy, do not hire Arthur Smith. I'd like to see him out of the league, quite frankly. I'm sure he's got plenty of finances. He doesn't need the money. I'd rather him get a hobby, do something else, take up boating, anything but football. Because Arthur Smith, he might not be as bad as I'm painting him out to be, but for fantasy, he's bad. Not good. Look what happened when Bijan, all of a sudden, he leaves Atlanta. All of a sudden, oh, look at Bijan. There he is. Unbelievable. So hopefully the Titans are listening and they don't hire Arthur Smith. Let's take a look at this injury report real quick. Already running out of time in this first segment. Josh Allen on that injury report, limited. Terrell Bernard, linebacker, he's been out for a little while here. A bunch of guys limited. Ty Johnson. They need Ty Johnson. He's a good receiver out of the backfield. That was a low-key, loss for them last week. Of course, they did emerge victorious. Dalton Kincaid, still limited. I've been looking at the data. They need Dalton Kincaid in this game. They big-time need Dalton Kincaid. Matt Milano, limited in practice. Ed Oliver, limited in practice. Now, he's been out for a while, right? So I guess he might be returning. So that would be good news for them. Jordan Poyer, out of practice still. And as we learned yesterday on the program, Curtis Samuel practicing in full. So he will likely return. We don't have a good data on Curtis Samuel. We don't have good data on anybody, as I alluded to. Let's take a look here. What else do we have here for Denver? Not much. They're coming off the bye, so they're pretty healthy. Dre Greenlaw, still limited. Lucas Kroll. I was told a couple of years ago by somebody close to Sean Payton, oh, he loves Lucas Kroll. So we went in on actually a couple of Lucas Kroll props, and I believe one or two of them hit. I think it was one of the first shows we ever did. I took a Lucas Kroll under, and the boss were like, what the hell is this guy doing? But it hit. That's correct. But Lucas Kroll has not been a factor all year. Niners, take a look there. What do we got going on here? Nothing really of note, although Ricky Pearsall, that is a big one. Limited to open the week, which I think is certainly a good sign. Fred Warner, limited. I don't think we're expecting him to play. I do believe there's a chance he plays if they emerge victorious, at the very least in the Super Bowl. We got Trent Williams limited, so certainly we're opening up the practice week in good shape there. How about this? This could be sneaky. Elijah Arroyo practicing in full. He's been on the shelf. He's been out to put him on IR, but he's a guy that could be a needle mover. I mean, he looks like a wide receiver out there out of Miami. I watched him practice for a week at the Senior Bowl. Very high on him. Again, he might be a little bit of a tweener guy that doesn't necessarily have a great role, but a very dynamic tight end. Jackson Smith and Jigba, limited in practice. Reek Woolen, also limited in practice. Got a bunch of dudes limited. Here's the big one. Charles Cross, full practice. So they're going to get healthy. That bye week did good for Seattle, I'm sure, because Sam Darnold needs his starting left tackle, especially in the playoffs and in such an important game. But looking at the data there, by the way, it does not look good here for the San Francisco 49ers. Really doesn't look good for that first game, though, Buffalo-Denver. And we did get through this segment without getting into it all, but stay tuned. Final segment, I will go over all the point totals and I will pop out all the pertinent data as it relates to the matchup, the schematic matchups. Not looking great. I'm looking at unders here in the divisional round, which is probably pretty smart. It's a little tougher, higher stakes, of course, than the wild card round. On the other side, though, we'll get into the wide receiver corner matchups. We'll talk about the data. I've got some prop data as well. But first, we're getting ready for Big Game 60 with a big deal to match. Save 60% off a VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using the promo code PROP. Become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber. Bet smarter all year long with full access to our daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all our betting guides and expert picks for Super Bowl and the upcoming March Madness. Don't miss out on this big game deal. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code PROP to save $60 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. That is VSIN.com/subscribe. Good wide receiver corner matchups for this weekend and bad ones coming at you next on Prop Points. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. This is the exact time every single week we took a look at wide receiver corner matchups here on a Wednesday afternoon or morning if you're over there on the left coast. 19 straight weeks of a wide receiver corner previews, and got another one next week, and then we got one more. But let's get into the positive ones. We'll start with our boy, our brah, Christian Kirk, who is going to see a lot of Marcus Jones, who is the diminutive corner there for the Patriots, who gives up a pretty generous 0.32 fantasy points per route run. Now, the real question, and we'll have a little bit more time, obviously, is are they going to need him to line up outside more with sans Nico Collins? They do have other guys who can do it, but Kirk can do it. And it's one of the reasons why I like Kirk. Now, he actually told me he was incorrect at his combine that he, you know, preferred to line up outside, but, you know, obviously said I could do inside, outside. I like inside, outside guys. I don't like the players who have a little bit of limitations, you know, like maybe a Cortland Sutton. You know, has anyone ever seen Cortland Sutton line up in the slot? I'm sure it's happened, but not often. So I like the inside out guys that you can't really isolate. You know, when you're a boundary corner and you're always there on the boundary there, you know, you're out there on an island a little bit. It makes it a little harder to produce. Or if you're a stud, it can make it easier. But love me some Christian Kirk. The prop number has been is almost triple what it was just a couple of nights ago. It's between 47 and 49 yards, depending upon where you look. Next up, here's a guy. Sometimes we throw out all the data, we throw out all the analysis, all the football matchup stuff, and we just lean on one little principle. He's due. That would be Rome Odunze. It seems like we haven't seen Odunze do anything of note for about 2 months. So that would mean he's due. And he, not the greatest schematic matchup for him, unfortunately, but a pretty good individual matchup. You should see a lot of Emmanuel Forbes, been bringing him up every single week. And again, hanging in there, but beatable, giving up 0.31 fantasy points per route run. I might be in on this over. 34.5. I mean, come on. This is how bad we are. Rome Odunze, number one pick. I know he's coming off an injury, but he did play last week. He's a number one pick in a must-win playoff game, and the books are like, hey, he might get 35 yards. Maybe. I mean, that's unbelievable. I think it speaks to a lot of things. The environment in this league where we've been trending back, reverting. Notice I didn't say revert back because that's redundant, but we're reverting almost to the leather helmet era lately in this league. But Davante Adams is next. This is a really good matchup. You'll see a lot of Nashawn Wright. That's another player that we've brought up a lot because he's not that great and he's very beatable, giving up 0.31 fantasy points per route run. Meanwhile, by the way, I didn't list Puka as a bad matchup just because, I mean, I don't want to say anything negative relating to Puka Nacua. That's not good business. But as it relates to Devontae, it's good because Puka is going to see a lot more of Jalen Johnson. Now, Jalen Johnson, there was a time where I was deathly afraid of him because he's good and teams don't throw on his side. He's not as a shutdown guy, but I think he's going to see a lot of Puka. So I think that should open things up for Davante Adams. The prop is 52.5. That's a damn good number. I'd be stunned if he didn't get there. Jackson Smith and Jigba. I remember pretty sure we went in on the over last time out in the finale, and it was close, but I don't think he hit. I think he missed it by like 3 or 4 yards, unfortunately. These numbers are big when you're JSN. He'll see a lot of Renardo Green, another player we've kind of brought up a lot, because he's not that great, giving up 0.29 fantasy points per route run. Jackson Smith and Jigba is 92.5 minus 112. So it's pretty much where it was last time out. I don't think I'm going to do either side of that one there, FYI. And then finally, our guy, we won some props on this dude. We actually won an under last time out by a half a yard. Seems like you're lucky, right? Oh, you got lucky. You won by half a yard. I'm like, yeah, but the guy caught one ball. One! Anyway, he'll see a lot of Josh Jobe, that's great. Why is that great? Josh Jobe's pretty good. They're all good. His name's not Tariq Woolen, and it's not Devin Witherspoon. So that's the main reason why Juwan Jennings is on the list. Next up, let's go to the bad matchups. Of course, with Jennings, we will see about Ricky Pearsall. That would be pretty big. Now, let's start here with the negative ones. Another one of our guys, we won the prop on Kayshon Booty last week, but not the greatest schematic matchup, as I've observed, and he will see a lot of Kamari Lassiter, who's a badass, gives up 0.22 fantasy points per route run. But Troy Aikman, again, he's the man. Troy Aikman is the best analyst out there. And I don't think people really recognize it, but he is. He brings up the good things that Kamari Lassiter does. Like, he's a great coverage guy, but he also gets dirty in the running game. And so he's all over the place. Now, he is a little bit of a gambler, and he can be had, but that's a little bit of a scary matchup. We're probably not going to touch the prop this week. It's 31.5. It's doable. Could do that on one grab, but probably not going to go there because I do respect the heck out of Kamari Lassiter. I also respect Christian Benford. We went in last week on a Brian Thomas Jr. under. I think we brought this up last week in terms of the negative matchup. So that was a good little accomplishment. Week 18, we went over on BTJ, which was gutsy, and he hit.
And then last week we went under and that hit. And the reason it hit is because of the matchup. The outside boundary corner, he saw a lot of Christian Benford. Benford is very, very good, giving up just 0.20 fantasy points per route run. So that's Courtland Sutton's matchup this week. And it'll be probably like they don't play a lot of man, although they are playing more man. And they play a version of zone that's kind of like man. So end of the day, Courtland Sutton's going to see a lot of Christian Benford. And that would explain this lowered prop. I mean, this is a pretty low number, 48.5 over at FanDuel. And if you want to bet the under, you want DraftKings. That's 59.5. You know, it's a tough call. I'll probably just avoid it in general. These unders are tough to stomach, but they are profitable. Stephon Diggs, he's on my personal playoff DNP list, although I might play the under because he'll see a lot of Derek Stingley. If you even watched this show last year, I heaped just a lot of praise on Derek Stingley. Like this guy's unbelievable. And guess what? A year later this year, first team all pro. So that's a bad matchup for Stephon Diggs, the number 49.5. I mean, we do have some good schematics, but man, I can't do it. I'm not going to touch it. Just take a laissez-faire approach. Next up, we had to dig a little deeper here, by the way, with only four games. But Troy Franklin up against Tre'Davious White. Now, I mean, I'd certainly give the edge to Tre'Davious White, the veteran corner who, by the way, at one time, I thought he was the best before that was before the ACL. First draft pick of Sean McDermott's tenure there in Buffalo, number one pick. Bounced back from that injury, and he's been good. Gives up 0.17 fantasy points per route run. Troy Franklin, it's pathetic. You have a starting wide receiver in year two who was a pretty accomplished player there at Oregon. And the books are like, yeah, maybe he gets to 22 yards. Maybe. I mean, that's a starting outside corner. It's unbelievable. And then last but not least, this one is frightening. We were just talking Brandon Cooks. Our guy Nick Bakai nailed it. I was with him. Of course, I didn't play it, but I was with him on Brandon Cooks being a factor. This week, he's going to see a lot of Pat Surtain. Maybe they bracken him, shadow. Doubt it, but it could happen. But if you want to prevent big plays from the only guy making them for the Bills, basically Brandon Cooks, could be Pat Surtain. The number is 29.5. That's pretty doable, but I think I'll probably avoid it. One thing I won't avoid is chopping it up with our guy Brent Whitefield. He'll join us on the other side, see what's on his mind in terms of the divisional round of the playoffs. But first, football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Don't wait. Spend $129. Get 2 pounds of wings. Save 50% off site-wide on steaks and more at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. Data, film, hashtag analysis with Brett Whitefield of Fantasy Points. Next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This Wednesday edition of Prop Points rolls on right now here on VSiN. Good afternoon. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. And from the aforementioned website, we go to the Progressive Guest Line to bring in Brett Whitefield, COO of Fantasy Points. Very fancy title on the X Machine at BG Whitefield. Data, film, football, ready to rock and roll. Feeling a little bit better this week. Brett, you ready for the divisional round? How are you?
I'm doing great. This is my favorite week of the year. We get four stellar games. The workload is mostly behind me, so I get to just sit and watch and enjoy. And right. It's my favorite week of the year.
Yeah, I just said that basically the same thing about 20 minutes ago. Next Sunday is the best individual day of the year. right?
Yes.
Probably better than the Super Bowl, quite frankly. But this is the best weekend. Well, let's get into it because it kicks off with the Bills at the Broncos. And I have mentioned multiple times, this puppy might go under here, 45.5, because I see nothing but pretty poor schematics for the passing games. You, though, you like one running back to do well and one to go under here. Let's start with James Cook. What do you see with Mr. Cook here?
Yeah, so the Broncos defense has been really good all year, but the one area you can get them is in the run game. And this Buffalo offense has been a run-heavy team, especially what the last 9 weeks. I think they lead the league they're last in the league, I should say, in pass rate over expectation. So they've totally transformed into a run-heavy team. And the Bills are smart. The way their coach is really smart, and they're going to try to mitigate that Broncos pass rush. So they're going to step in and really try to establish this run with James Cook. And the Broncos, I think they're giving up the second most explosive runs in the league since their bye week. So, I mean, they're definitely gettable on the ground. And James Cook has been one of the most consistently explosive players all season long. He had kind of had a rough week last week. So I think this is a really good bounce back spot for him. On the other side of it, RJ Harvey, you know, I think the line's juiced a little bit because the Bills have struggled to stop the run. The problem is I don't know where the Broncos are finding any offense. And so I think with the game script that we're going to see, I just don't know that RJ Harvey's going to have any running room. He's hit his under in 9 of the last 11 weeks, John. Like, this has not been a player who's consistently hitting his over total. If you want to play a receiving yards prop for him, I think that's a way more, you know, a way better way to go than the rushing yards prop, unless you're playing the under. So the Bills' run defense has not been great, but their pass defense is so good. And the Broncos have been so bad running against anyone that I think this is going to be an uphill battle for RJ Harvey on the ground.
Well, how about 49ers Seahawks? I already went in on a prop for Zach Charbonnet over 47.5. You know, it might be a slightly better schematic matchup just off of the season for Walker, but Charbonnet is doing really well on those zone concept runs. So he's doing, to me, just as well as Walker, yet he's also a lot better on those man gap runs. So any thoughts on Seattle's running game? Because I think they're going to handle the Niners relatively easily like they did a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I think you nailed it with that one, John. So Zach, I think, you know, for my money, he's been the better back probably all season long. But some of the metrics that, you know, the analytics community loves, like force missed tackles and explosive run rate and EPA per rush, it was kind of lagging with Zach, where the tape was checking out, but the numbers weren't. But as the season's progressed, he has really shored up those analytical profiles. And gosh, you look at his explosive run rate. He finished the season with an explosive run rate over 5, creeping up next to Kenneth Walker. So I think the value with Walker has been slightly diminished in the offense because you are getting some explosives out of Zach Charbonnet now. And then you mentioned it with the 49ers couldn't stop anything. Their defense is horrific. And Seattle, you got to believe Mike McDaniel's coaching Sam Darnold to just not lose this game, right? Like, our defense will carry us. Let the run game score points.
Totally.
Don't do anything stupid. We're just going to pound the rock and get to conference championship weekend here.
100%. That is why we made that the best bet. So get on that puppy now if you still can here. Chopping it up with our guy, Brett Whitefield of FantasyPoints.com on the X Machine at BG Whitefield. I know you were just talking with our producer, Michael Cohen, during the break, and he is biggest Patriots fan I know, and you were tempering expectations a little bit. So paint the picture where Drake May and the Pats are on the struggle bus, because that's not that hard to envision despite May's success this year.
Yeah, so I think what you have here is a blend of a weakness from a quarterback in Drake May. What he doesn't do well is, you know, he wants to be a creative playmaker. He wants to hold the ball for a long time. He had one of the lowest first read percentages in the league over the last 8 weeks. Mm. His time to throw is near the top of the league. And then the flip side, you have a Texans defense that is murderous against those types of quarterbacks. They have the fastest time to pressure in the league, especially with their time to pressure with their 4-man rush alone is 2.5 seconds, which is, you know, it's like 3/10 of a second faster than Drake May's time to throw. So these two worlds colliding, I don't see a world where Drake May, as he's played, can exist against this Texans defense. That said, I still like the Patriots to win this game, but it's going to have to come on the ground. So if I'm telling you Drake May is probably going to hit his under, that probably means Travion Henderson and Ramondre Stevenson are good candidates to hit their over. And I just peeked at the number when I was in the waiting room here. Travion's line is 37.5 and Ramondre's is 34.5. I like both of them, John. I think the old school Mike Vrabel, you know, run the ball and play defense is going to come to life here in the playoffs. And I think that's going to be the focus. Let's keep our quarterback safe and run the ball, similar to the Seahawks approach, although I don't think he's worried about Drake May costing him the game or anything. But I think we're going to protect the quarterback here. We're going to run the ball. And you've seen Ramondre. He's looked awesome lately, the last 5-6 weeks.
Awesome.
Travion's been good all year long. So I think this is a really good opportunity to get some lower lines on these guys while we can.
They found the right formula for Ramondre. I was a big Ramondre guy, and I bailed because I'm watching him in real time over the last couple of years just wear down, devolving as we right in front of our eyes, but not now. I mean, he's explosive as ever right now. Real quick on Woody Marks, man. We were in on the over on Monday night here on this show, and I mean, he doubled it up basically. It was an easy hit. I didn't think it would be that easy, man. He's running hard. He's looking good. Not a great schematic matchup, but he's kind of, in my mind, earned an opportunity to be in serious consideration to be their starter next year. Like, he might be their guy.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, you know, Woody, he's passing the sniff test on tape. Like, he's a really good slashing style running back. He's not big, but he's physical. He's got good make you miss stuff.
Yeah.
And then you look at the history of the Texans organization and the way they kind of handle that position. They don't really draft guys high and they don't pay guys. So, like, there's a really good chance Woody Marks is the number one next year. Yeah, I think that's a great call, John.
And finally, Rams Bears. I like Davante Adams here. Number one, he'll get a pretty good individual matchup. I think Puka is going to see a lot of Jalen Johnson. Not that Jalen Johnson's a shutdown guy, but what pops to you in this matchup? For me, that's the one, Davante Adams in this one. But what do you see?
Yeah, I'm with you on Davante. He's going to have a good matchup. To be honest with you, John, Chicago's defense really hasn't been good. You look at like yards per play allowed, right, EPA per play allowed. They have the turnover thing going for them, but I still think the Rams are going to rack up a ton of production on the ground and through the air. I think this is a really good candidate to go over the game. I think that you could see well into the 50, you know, 50, even low 60s for a score in this game. So, you know, Chicago, offensively, they're very frustrating. You know, they play bad for three quarters, and all of a sudden, the fourth quarter, they can hang 25 on you. So, for that over to hit, we'll need, you know, Chicago's offense to kind of click a little bit better early on in the game. However, I do think this is a game that goes over, and I like Devontae's matchup a ton. I think Kyren Williams should have a really good game, although Blake Corum's been working in kind of at a scary level, right?
Yeah.
But ultimately, yeah, I don't think either defense has played well lately, too. So I think both offenses here are good candidates to go over. Roma Dunze's another guy, John. I wanted to bring him up. He's been slow coming back, right, since the injury, but they really need him. And the Rams will play some of this man-match mirror type stuff on the outside, and Rome will have opportunities to go one-on-one with a corner down there, and Caleb's got to hit him. I don't think Luther Burden and Colson Loveland is enough to carry the torch here for them. They're going to need Roma Dunze big. So
1,000,000%, Brett, I literally just said that pretty much like 15 minutes ago. You know what else I said? He's due. Do you think Roma Dunze can get 35 damn yards in this game? 35 yards up against Emmanuel Forbes often.
I'd bet he has a catch for at least 35 yards in this game.
Exactly. So there it is. Roma Dunze. Spoiler alert. We're leaning into that one heavily. It's not my best bet, though, for today that I will pop out in the final segment. Great stuff, as always, Brett. Enjoy that most relaxing, enjoyable weekend of the year. I know you'll be in Mobile, Alabama, doing your work at the Senior Bowl the following week, so maybe we can check in with you from Mobile. But great stuff as always, Brett, the great Brett Whitefield. And when we return, final segment, I will pop out all the data points popping out to me as it relates to the point totals for the divisional round of the playoffs here on Prop Points.
Talking Prop Points with the Guru, John Hansen on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final segment on a Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in per usual. Just like we did last week for tomorrow's show, we will pop out official plays other than the best bet that we're already in on from yesterday's show, which, by the way, is Zach Charbonnet over 47.5. I have another best bet today that I'll pop out in this segment, but then we'll do the rest of the Saturday games tomorrow. And then on Friday, we'll kind of revisit those. And a couple of guests mixed in as well. The great Jim Miller lost his power on us last week, but week later, Bears won. So Jim's back. He'll join us to discuss the Chicago Bears and the LA Rams. But now let's take a look at the totals here. Only four games on the board arranged by highest to lowest. The number one total is, no surprise, Rams-Bears. We just talked about it with Brett Whitefield, 48.5. I would imagine we'll go over here because we do have some pretty good schematic data. Bears run cover three, cover one, about half the time. Stafford, 8.65 YPA with a 6.1 completion percentage over expectation. So very good data here. 107.5 passer rating. Puka Nacua absolutely assaults those shells. 4.60 yards per route run against cover three and cover one. Of course, he will see a lot of Jalen Johnson. Davante Adams, 1.87 yards per route run. Pretty good. The tight ends are looking pretty good as well. Colby Parkinson is over 2 yards per route run against those coverages, cover three, cover one, which they run about half the time. Tyler Higbee, we hit that over last week, even though Colby Parkinson did steal that tutty. I knew that a Ram tight end would get. But he's not bad here, 1.70 yards per route run. They won without Terrence Ferguson last week. Maybe he'll go this week, and he's a little bit better than Higbee at a very workable 1.77 yards per route run. Also looking good on the ground are the Rams. For the Bears, not a bad schematic for Caleb. Not unbelievable, but 7.19 YPA against cover three and cover two. He also runs against those coverages. He's accounted for multiple touchdowns in six straight games, so we should get some production. Colston Loveland does well against the shells. They'll see cover three, cover two, 52% of the time. He's at 2.67 yards per route run, so pretty good schematic there for Loveland. Luther Burden's over 3 yards per route run. He'll see a lot of Quentin Lake, who was picked on a little bit last week after the long layoff. So we can see good things there. Not great for DJ Moore, though, and Rome Odunze. They're both at a weak number, 1.33 yards per route run and 1.34 yards per route run. Not great. Still might take that Odunze prop just because. Just because it's too low. And I totally agree with Brett. Like, they're not winning this game. No chance. Unless they get contribution from Rome Odunze. That's it. Like, they need a little bit more. Burden is not going off. Colston Loveland can only do so much. They need that second receiver. So I do think Rome Odunze will get it done in this one. But also a pretty good schematic matchup there on the ground for DeAndre Swift. Let's move on to the second total. I'm going under. I haven't taken any totals. I'm taking it under on Buffalo at Denver. 45.5 is the total. It's not that high, but the schematics, everything looks bad. Here, let's go through it all. Josh Allen, Broncos run man coverage 36% of the time. He's under 7 yards per attempt. Khalil Shakir is at a mediocre 1.62. yards per route run against man. He's never been good against man. Brandon Cooks is at 0.33 yards per route run against man. That's terrible. He's not even at one, and that's bad. One's bad, so he's not even there. He's a third of the way to bad, basically, at 0.33 yards per route run. Kurt Samuel's not any better. He's at 1 yard per route run. Now, here's the critical player. It's got to be Dalton Kincaid.
He is at 2.19 yards per route run. But, you know, James Cook should do all right. But, man, passing game schematics, not great for the Bills. And guess what? Not great for the Broncos. Two high safeties. The Bills run 57% of the time. Bo Nix is at 5.78 YPA. That's not good. Cortland Sutton averages 1.41 yards per route run against the shell. Not good. Troy Franklin against two high safeties, 1.08 yards per route run. Not good. Evan Engram, 1.55 yards per route run. Not great. And he's also a scrub. So it's not looking great here. So as you can see, I'm taking the under on that puppy for what it's worth, which could be very little. 49ers at Seahawks, 45.5. See, I mean, we all know what happened in this game a couple of weeks ago, and that was with George Kittle. Brock Purdy is hanging in there against cover one, cover six, 7.02 yards per attempt. Juwan Jennings isn't that bad, 1.98 yards per route run against cover one and cover six. Ricky Pearsall is actually, you know, if he does go, he's a workable 1.70 yards per route run, but no, Kittle's big. Jake Tongis is only at 1.38 yards per route run. It's also a really bad matchup on the ground for CMC. On the other hand, it is really good for Sam Darnold. He is at almost 10 yards in attempt against cover three, cover four. We pointed this out a couple of weeks ago. He didn't get a touchdown, but I mean, the guy did complete 20 of 26 passes. So it's a good schematic matchup for him. It's a good schematic matchup for Jackson Smith and Jigba. Not so much, though, for the secondary guys. Rashid Shaheed, he's at 1.43 yards per route run against the coverages. Cooper Kupp, 1.61. He'll see a lot of Upton Stout, the impressive rookie. Not great for A.J. Barner. So it's going to be running the ball and running with the running backs. Like Charbonnet and Walker should do extremely well in this game. San Fran, we covered the schematics before. We'll do it again if we make official picks, but very good schematic matchup for Seattle. Ken Walker at 5.65 yards per carry on zone runs. Charbonnet's 5.28, which is saying something because he was more the man gap guy. And then last but not least, Texans and Patriots. This number could go up a little bit pending information on stud corner Christian Gonzalez and, of course, stud wideout Nico Collins. Not the worst schematic matchup for CJ Stroud, 8.1 YPA. But not great for the receivers. And this is against cover three and cover one. Jaden Higgins, 1.61 yards per route run, not great. Xavier Hutchinson, 1.49, not great. Christian Kirk, our guy, he is pretty good though. 1.99 yards per route run, like we mentioned before. You'll see a lot of Marcus Jones. So we're probably going to be in on another Christian Kirk prop. We're going to avoid Dalton Schultz though, like we did last week. He has now fallen below five receptions in three straight games, and he averages a pretty poor 1.35 yards per route run against cover three and cover one. So this will be close. This will be tight. Not incredible. Also, not the greatest schematic matchup for Woodrow Marks. Next up, Drake May. Now, he has a good schematic matchup. Keep in mind, it's only one part of the equation, but 9.11 YPA with an 11% completion percentage over expectation against cover three and cover four. Of course, again, individually, the players he'll be throwing against are awesome. So that's not good. Stephon Diggs actually does pretty well against those coverages. But again, he'll see a lot of Derek Stingley, so I'm not going there. Kayshon Booty's not bad either. 2.31 yards per route run against cover three and cover one. He'll see a lot of Kamari Lassiter. So could be another Hunter Henry game. He averages 2.29 yards per route run. That number should go up just a little bit. Stay tuned to VSiN after we sign off. Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern. On today's show, Kendall Valenzuela will share some prop bets for the divisional round, followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 Eastern. Then stick around, VSiN Primetime, Matt Brown and Mike Somich at 7 p.m. Eastern. Well, last item on the docket is, in fact, a best bet, and I will go in on Mr. Davante Adams, Mr. Future Hall of Famer, I mean, come on. 52.5 in the highest total on the board this weekend. And with a better individual matchup, he'll see a lot of Nashawn Wright as opposed to Jalen Johnson. And Devontae averages a solid 1.87 yards per route run. Also, very solid 0.26 targets per route run. He did a little bit better than I even remembered from last week, but it didn't feel like a big Devontae Adams game. He didn't score. This one, I believe, will be more of a Devontae Adams game, and he'll hit the prop. Good luck with that play. We'll catch you mañana for another edition of Prop Points here on VSiN.